Welcome to Move the Needle. This show is designed to inform, educate, motivate, and provide perspective on all things related to pharmacy provided immunization services. Let's start moving the needle. Hello, and welcome to this month's edition of the Move the Needle podcast, where I'm joined with Ed Cohen from Pharmacy Times and John Beckner from NCPA, as well as our special guest, Joanna Lewis. As the name implies, Move the Needle is designed to inform, educate, motivate, and provide perspective on all things related to pharmacy provided immunization services. For this month, we're focusing on current immunization strategies, but we're also going to touch a little bit on the holidays and how to gather safely. There's a lot to discuss here, so I'm going to let Ed take this one away.
Hey, thank you, Jill, and great to be back. John, with you, and then Joanna, welcome. We're glad to have you as our distinguished guest this month. Well, I'm going to stop here for just one second and say, Joanna, maybe you should do an introduction and let our audience know who you are and what brings you with us today.
Hello, everyone. My name is Joanna Lewis. I am a pharmacist currently working in Florida with a 340B program, but I also am a health and wellness blogger. And I use my social media platform, The Pharmacist Guide, to really inspire and educate others on wellness practices that we can take into our lives and really use, especially to prevent burnout. I also have written two ebooks specifically about burnout, and I'm here today to talk about immunizations, specifically around pediatrics.
John, let's begin today. And I know it's a cliche, but as a pharmacist, and you and I have been doing this for many, many years, the tagline is get immunized and continue to promote and encourage all of your patients to be immunized. We've said that so many times, and to boast a bit, because as you and I discussed, over 70% of all COVID vaccines are being provided in pharmacies today. And I think that that number is closer to 80%. And I think that number closer to 80% represents all immunizations in the United States are being provided by pharmacists and pharmacies. We're really thankful to see that the PREP Act has given our technicians the opportunity to help us by providing flu and COVID vaccinations. But it's important to remind our audience that even though this is flu season and sounds like COVID season always, that there are other vaccines that we need to promote to our patients to continue to keep them healthy and prevent serious disease. So flu, pneumonia, pertussis, shingles, hepatitis, just to name a few. Many of you are doing a great job. We know vaccines are your best protection against preventable disease. John, maybe you can take the first question from me to you. Let's talk about burnout and fatigue and how we can give some solid advice to our audience to help them to understand and take some action.
Well, Ed, first of all, it's really good to be with you again. And Joanna, thanks for being on our as a guest on our program. You know, Ed, the statistics that you mentioned in the beginning of your monologue really point out and showcase what an important role pharmacists have played, not only during the pandemic, but also providing immunizations across the spectrum. And we've been doing it for a long time. And I think certainly the holidays are a good time to remind folks that vaccines are your best protection against preventable disease. You mentioned burnout and fatigue, and I'm glad Joanna is gonna touch on that as well with what she's written in her books. But it's a very real problem today, just because of all the demands that are being put on pharmacists and their staff. I don't want to minimize the effect on staff, because that's very important. From boosters to regular COVID vaccine to the newly approved pediatric vaccine, and now with antivirals coming down the pike, I think there's just a lot of demands that are being put on pharmacists and their staff. And I think the burnout issue is gonna be out there. You know, it's a very challenging time. And you know, pharmacists probably need to remind themselves that in order to continue to take care of their patients, they really need to try to do as good a job as they can taking care of themselves. as well as their staff. So I think just, you know, taking a step back if possible, trying to re-energize, trying to get some rest, getting the appropriate rest, particularly as we enter a very busy, challenging time of the year.
So, John, let me go off the path here for a second. And we talk about burnout and fatigue. We hear so much about that from our chain pharmacists. Full disclosure, I have a rich background in chain pharmacy and enjoyed it and still enjoy it. But from an independent community practice perspective, are you seeing that your independent pharmacists are suffering as much or more? Is it similar for both the chain pharmacist and the independent community pharmacist?
Well, Ed, I think the staffing challenges really cut across all sectors, whether it's, you know, hospital pharmacy, chain pharmacy, independent pharmacy. I mean, the staffing issues are really pretty acute right now and really are impacting, you know, all of pharmacy. That having been said, I think independent community pharmacists have, certainly they have the autonomy if they have adequate staffing to use, they've got the autonomy to use whatever they feel is important to take care of their patients and get the job done. I think that may be a little bit different with regard to the chains, who are in a lot of cases constrained by labor goals and staffing goals. So I think if the staffing is available, I think the independent community pharmacists have a little bit more say in what they feel is needed to take care of their patients. Independents have always touted the fact that they're able to spend more time with their patients. And the reason they're able to do that is they make their own decisions about what is needed from a staffing standpoint.
Excellent. And then you bring up a wonderful point, and thank you for doing so. The staffing issues are and continue to be a huge struggle for not only pharmacy, but as we see across the retail community, staffing problems remain across the industry. And you bring out a great point that we all need to take care of ourselves, so that once we can say we feel good, we can then address our staff and, of course, continue to encourage our customers as well to take care of themselves and stay as healthy as possible. So all good points. This fatigue that we talk about, it seems like there is no end to the demands for pharmacy. Boosters are now approved for everyone over the age of 18. I read today that they're looking at boosters for some of the adolescents 16 and above. We're seeing immunizations taking place for pediatrics now and getting children immunized. That's a challenge as well on many fronts because it's a whole new population for pharmacists and it's a whole new population of younger people that pharmacists traditionally have not immunized. 2 points there, John, for you. We're now crossing over into that pediatric space. We're now seeing boosters and an increase in patient population. And again, it's 2 points to focus on are those, the boosters themselves, the expansion of the ages. And then, of course, we're going to turn to Joanna as a pharmacist and a parent and get her perspective on pediatric COVID immunizations. So, John, you take the first part, and then we'll transition over to Joanna.
Yeah, talk a little bit about boosters. And as you mentioned, Ed, you know, boosters are now approved for essentially everybody over the age of 18 with a 6-month gap for the mRNA vaccines, the Pfizer and the Moderna, since the completion of the primary series, and then 2 months since the completion of J&J. A lot in the news today about the new variant. And I think as new variants come along, boosters are going to be increasingly important. So I think whether it's boosters or a different type of vaccine in the future, based upon what variants come along, I think we're operating in a new world now with regard to immunization. So with regard to COVID, and certainly I don't want to minimize the importance of staying up to date on other immunizations. You made that point early on that seasonal flu is still out there, pneumococcal disease, shingles, pertussis, hepatitis, all these things are important and they're all preventable if folks decide to get the vaccine. So, boosters will continue to be important. Ed.
And Joanna, you and I have discussed in some length about the differences in thought as a pharmacist versus a mom. Maybe you'd like to share with us some of those thoughts that you had. And I know your husband is also a physician. So from a healthcare perspective, what's the right thing? And from a mom perspective, what's the right thing? And how did you differentiate and resolve that those issues?
Thank you, Ed. And yes, that's such a good question. So like you said, as a pharmacist and my husband's a physician, there was really not any doubt in our mind that we need to get our children vaccinated. As healthcare professionals over the last year and a half, we've seen a lot and just how these vaccines can really be amazing tools in preventing disease. But if I step into my mother hat, I think mothers approach things where they're skeptical of everything. I'm very cautious. And I really know, I knew what the right thing was to do, but I really, in that sense, wanted to cover all my bases. So what do we do when we have questions, right? A lot of people turn to Google or whatever their mode of research, or they go to their friends. In my case, I have access to a lot of the research and the journal articles. So I was able to really read a little deeper into that and understand the pediatric, the research that went into it, how amazing these mRNA vaccines really are. I talked to our pediatrician. I also have a friend who's a pediatrician and she has four daughters. And I also have another friend, one of my son's friends at school. She's also a physician and she has four children. And I mean, without a doubt, resoundingly, they are all vaccinating their children. And really, when I looked at all of, like I said earlier, the research and the side effects, I came to the same conclusion. And also understanding that these, you know, whatever people are worried about the side effects with the vaccine, I think the side effects with COVID, you have to, the risk of a benefit could be much worse with COVID. And like you said, two of my children are eligible to be vaccinated. And we got them vaccinated and they did great. And it also, I think, is a great way to protect our youngest, who's not eligible yet to be vaccinated. One of the best things we can do for him is to get everyone else in the house vaccinated.
I applaud you for the research that you did, and I appreciate the struggles as a pharmacist and a physician, as parents, and then as parents yourselves. Was there any overwhelming or resounding statement in the research? Something that really just, or was there a lack of any resounding or really troublesome information that may have caused you more angst to move forward or gave you the courage to move forward?
Well, I guess, and like, you know, you probably both know, when you're one of the healthcare professionals in the family, everyone in your extended family looks to you for answers. And same with all our friends, you know, they all, so I kind of felt like I had to do my due diligence for them too, because they were asking me very, very specific and detailed questions. I think in the research, my main concern was myocarditis. And I talked to the pediatrician and several other people about that, because I think it was more common in boys, and I have boys. It's more common after the second dose. You know, my husband called up his friend, it was a pediatrician out of state he went to school with. And, you know, she had just gotten her two boys vaccinated, you know, same concern, but COVID can also cause myocarditis and those effects can be much worse. So I think as far as the research, it's sound. They've gone through all the regular rigorous safety trials that we go through for all of our drugs. If anything, it just reassured me, because there's a lot of noise right there out, you know, there's a lot is going on. So
Joanna, just a question for you. And one of the more disturbing statistics that I've seen lately, and this percentage may have gone up, but I think the last thing I saw revealed that about a little over one third of parents have said that they're going to wait and see, and they're not going to get their children vaccinated. Do you see that percentage increasing, kind of like it did with adults early on? And what role do you think pharmacists can play in helping to convince those that are either dead set against it, or, you know, I like to call them fence sitters, they're taking a wait and see approach. What advice as a pharmacist and as a parent would you give to those pharmacists that are in, that are put in that position?
Okay, that I think is an amazing question, because that's really applicable to what's going on right now. A lot of the, you know, healthcare professionals, we have a lot of friends and family who are healthcare professionals. I've been hanging out at, you know, my son's tennis lessons, and a group of moms were talking. And though all of those moms were very quick to vaccinate themselves, several of them were kind of a, had the same wait and see approach, you know, like, well, our rates are low in Florida right now is what they were saying. I think I'm just going to wait. I'm going to wait a month and see what happens, like see if side effects, people start getting side effects or whatever. And I had almost the exact same conversation with a mom I was walking with. You know, she got vaccinated herself. Her whole family did very quickly. But when it comes to their 9-year-old son, she was looking at it very differently. And I do think it is going to be like what we saw with adults. I think it's going to be, you know, you have the, like the early adopters and then people who kind of, you know, slowly catch up in a way.
I hope that's the case. I think obviously the more people that get vaccinated, people are going to see that, you know, they didn't experience any untoward side effects, and they're going to see the value of doing it. It may be a tough hill to climb for some people. And again, I think pharmacists are going to be playing a really important role in encouraging their patients who are parents to get their children vaccinated.
Absolutely. Because I think a lot of people's fear and hesitancy is just maybe all of their questions haven't been answered. And I think if we take time to talk to them, I think we can probably at least do some education and get rid of a few of those concerns.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned taking the time, because, you know, we talked about all the things that pharmacists are being asked to do, you know, today. And probably, you know, one of the more important things is education and really taking the time to talk to patients, talk to parents about how important it is to get vaccinated. And these vaccines are safe, they're effective. And again, taking the time to really explain to people and try to address their concerns where they're coming from.
Great points that both of you have made on this topic. And it's something that we discussed on our last episode, near and dear to John and I, to really promote immunizations to everyone. It's unfortunate that the population is split in so many different ways and so many different ideas that it is a struggle at times to have those conversations with some of our patients. So I applaud our pharmacists and our pharmacy staffs for the work that they've done and they continue to do. And as we've talked today, there's an array of different challenges that are and have been in front of them to get the success, accounting for over 80% of all immunizations in the United States. That number, with all the challenges that we face, it's remarkable. We've achieved that level of success. Enough on that. So let's change the topic a little bit, but stay right in tune with what we're doing. We're encouraging everybody to get vaccinated. And it is the holidays. I mean, we just got through with Thanksgiving. Did you... John or Joanna, did you do what I did? Because I had a group of folks over to the house. First time I got everyone in the house, but before I brought everybody together, I actually canvassed the family and said, "Hey, did you guys get all your shots? Your first shot, your second shot, your booster? Where are you with your shots, et cetera, et cetera?" We should never fear is asking people if they've been vaccinated. You know, we had a great time. We had two little family gatherings. And again, I had no problem checking in with the family and making sure everybody had their shots so that we could be safe when we all got together. So is that something similar, John and Joanna, that you have done as well? And did you have family gatherings over Thanksgiving? And what are you planning to do together safely over the upcoming holidays?
We did have a very small family gathering. And like I said earlier, we're in Florida, so it's a little easier to stay outside for some of those meals. But I did what you did, Ed. We had a couple relatives come in a couple of days before. We kind of had like a pre-Thanksgiving, and they've all gotten their boosters. And in many ways, I'm doing it for them too. You know, they're a little older, and they have some risk factors. And, you know, I don't want us, like my children, to be the ones to expose them. And I also, you know, want to keep our family safe. So
was there anything else that you did, Joanna, besides, of course, cooking a wonderful meal, I'm sure, asking folks if they've gotten their vaccinations down in Florida differently than up here where I'm at in Chicago? I'm sure the weather was nicer. You probably could have gone outdoors and had a great time. Other things that you may have put into play to reinforce that theme of gathering safely?
Really? I mean, we're still, when we go indoors, like the kids will wear a mask for sure. We will wear masks, but what we're really doing is just kind of staying outdoors. If we have family activities, we'll try to stay outdoors. It does get a little chilly here in Florida sometimes, but just really promoting vaccination with everyone. And there are a few holiday gatherings coming up that we've been invited to. And I think I have a little bit of research to do before we say yay or nay, but most of our friends who do have maybe small gatherings, they have been keeping the numbers very low, and they've been having dinner outside. Florida has these nice big porches, so we'll usually do it like that.
So when you say a little bit of research that you need to do, what is it? You're just asking the questions about vaccine status, or is there other things that you're looking to discover? Or, and the second question is, you said smaller groups. So what is a comfortable number of folks for your activities?
Yeah, for the research, yes. I was just going to ask the host about the vaccination status. But I think I've heard from the CDC, was it groups of 30 or less? And then I know some people are sticking to the numbers of 10 or less. So it's definitely smaller than, you know, in the past.
Yeah, I really, really like your comment about doing the research. And, you know, we had a small family gathering at Thanksgiving, and everyone was vaccinated. So no worries there. We were actually outside part of the time. It was 60 degrees in Richmond. But as we look ahead to the holidays, I think there are going to be more parties, and it may be a little bit more difficult to be safe. And certainly if you're having a family gathering, outside family coming in, I don't think it's a bad thing to inquire about vaccine status. And I know some families that have had to make tough calls with family members that have elected to not get the vaccine. You have to be honest, and you have to be safe. And that's not necessarily a bad thing.
Joanna, you mentioned when your kids go indoors, they wear a mask. So if you're going to a family gathering or over Thanksgiving, John, yourself included here, was there any masking when you got to the house? Did you ask or require? Did people want to wear a mask in addition to if they're fully vaccinated and they're coming in and feeling good?
Well, I mean, we were at our house, and there were only six of us. And again, everybody had been vaccinated, so there was no mention of mask. But if it had been a situation where folks had come in from out of town, and they certainly would have been welcome to wear a mask in our house, although I don't think we would have been in a position to requiring it unless we had found out that someone was unvaccinated. That would have been a different story.
Yeah, no, I agree with all of that. Yeah, for our Thanksgiving, the kids didn't wear masks just because it was, you know, just us and three family members who had all gotten their boosters and everything. You know, these are like very tricky questions that a lot of people have to think through. If we were invited to a holiday party over the holidays, and if we chose to go, I think I may have them wear their mask indoors, you know, I think at least the one that's not vaccinated.
So Ed, I'll make one other point. At our house, I'm not allowed in the kitchen, regardless of whether I have on a mask or not.
I'm not sure it has anything virus related there, John. I will tell you that I'm not allowed out of the kitchen, quite the opposite, because I am the family cook. So
you're much more talented than I am.
Well, you know, I'm a pharmacist, so I follow all those recipes really well.
No, I was going to say, and I have three boys and they never leave the kitchen and they're not even teenagers yet. So,
oh my, you're in for a big surprise. But I will say, and I thank you both for your candor and your honesty. You have to do what's really comfortable for you. You can't be influenced by others. You have to live smart, get vaccinated. You're doing the right thing by asking folks, and don't shy away from checking vaccine status of family members. You got to make some of the tough calls on who can be there, who shouldn't be there. And if someone is challenging in your view, you have to make that tough call and say, I don't want to be at a gathering with X, Y, or Z. So I encourage folks to make those smart and safe choices without hesitation. It's much more important to be safe in your own mind, in your own view, than to put yourself into a situation that may cause some angst or some harm. Joanna, I thank you for your insight and your straight words of wisdom there, as you always have done on many other projects that we've worked on. I want to wish you, as we transition to close our now fourth episode of the Move the Needle podcast. John, some final thoughts, a little holiday message for our audience.
Thanks, Ed. And Joanna, I'll throw in my own thanks for joining us on the podcast. We really appreciate it. You know, just to kind of wrap up, Ed, you know, we just completed the Thanksgiving holiday, and I'm very thankful for all the pharmacists and pharmacy staff in the country that have done such a yeoman's job in helping be a solution for the pandemic. I'm certainly proud to be a pharmacist and proud to be part of that effort. It's been a challenging year, but it's also been a very rewarding year. As we look forward to 2022, Ed, I look forward to continuing with the Move the Needle podcast and new and exciting things in the immunization space for next year.
And John, I wish you the very, very best over this coming month and the holidays. A big thank you to our editorial staff at Jill Murphy, who does our intro and supports us and puts our podcast together for us. I wish Jill wonderful holidays. Looking into 2022, John, as you have said, we're going to highlight some new healthcare trends. We're going to look at innovation. We're going to look at expansion of care and how we can keep some of these new privileges that pharmacists and technicians have gained through the pandemic. And hopefully we can discuss great success and how we're moving to continue with these expanded privileges. We're going to focus a little bit more in our discussions on what's the differences in chain versus independence, and highlight some of those pluses and minuses in each environment. And of course, digging deeper into the practice of pharmacy and some of the differences in practice settings. To everyone, our listeners, we wish you a wonderful, wonderful Christmas and a great new year. We thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed our Move the Needle podcast and continue to listen with us in the future.